Do we have a quorum?
We have a
call the meeting in order. Bob, Trainer, you can tee up the agenda.
This is the special teleconference call scheduled to consider taking emergency action to change the ling cod season, size limit, and bag limit. This meeting is scheduled to consider conforming with federal regulations, which were promulgated by the Pacific Fisheries Management Council and NOAA Fisheries. On the call is President of the Commission, Jim Kellogg, Vice President, Sam Shookit, Commissioner Michael Flores.
Bob Hatchway just joined the line.
Oh, and Commissioner Bob Attoy. Great.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, everybody.
Also on the line is Commission Legal Counsel William Cunningham.
Good morning.
And we have Deputy Director Zonke Mastrip with the department, Marine Region Regional Manager Patty Wolf, also for Marine Region Maria Vokovich, Debbie Hazeltine. Here in Sacramento Commission Conference Room, in addition to myself, is Adriana Landrum, Special Assistant to the Commission, Sherry, Staff Service Analyst, and from the public, Randy Fry from RFA. Also on the telephone, we have Joe Blum with NOAA Fisheries, and I believe Bill Robinson is also with Mr. Blum.
No, he's not. I'm
You're by
not
yourself.
With him.
Is there anyone else on the telephone? Okay, with that introduction, I will turn it over to either Deputy Director Mastrip or Patty Wolf for the department's introductions and presentation of the request.
Patty, why don't you go ahead and...
Actually, I'd like to turn it over to Maria. She's going to deliver comments and introduction on the issue.
The hot potato gets passed. There it goes. Okay, good morning, commissioners, and everyone else on the phone. In late February, the department had a discussion with National Marine Fisheries Service about the excessive recreational ling cod catches that we saw in 2003 and in 2002 that resulted in the established OI and ABC for ling cod to be exceeded. Ling cod, as you know, is managed on a plan because the overfished is a level that is below 25% of its original size.
Maria, you're fading in and out.
Yeah, you are on my phone.
Well, let me try.
Don't laugh, Adriana. You'll get yourself.
I'm back. I had to go to another phone. I'm sorry.
Better. Thank
That's
you.
That's much better.
That sounds
okay.
A lot better, Maria.
All right. I'm going to start again.
Okay. 5714.
In late February, the department had a discussion with NIMS about the recreational ling cod catches in 2002 and 2003, and the OY and the ABC had been exceeded in both of those years. Ling cod is managed under a rebuilding plan because the National Marine Fisheries Service has declared it is overfished, and that threshold level for declaring that is the population is below 25% of its original size. So that's the definition of overfished. The ling cod are managed on a coastwide basis. So when the OY is set and the ABCs, it's for Oregon, Washington, and California for commercial and recreational take. There are separate allocations to the different states and different fisheries, but they're managed on a coastwide basis. Now I'm going to have you take a look at page 3 of the emergency document, table one, as I talk about the OY for Lingcod and the catches that are reported in there. And I draw your attention to the top of the two boxes where it gives an OY and an ABC, and then the first lines of catches there are for California recreational and commercial. In 2002, you'll see that the OY was a total of 577 metric tons coastwide, and the California recreational take was 506 of that. In 2003, the OY was 651 tons, and the California recreational take was documented as being 1,000 tons. When an ABC, which is the other number on that top box there, is exceeded several years in a row, the action is considered overfishing, and it's a condition that's not preferred for any stock of species, especially one that's overfished. Because the California lingcod catches were made in years, the 2002-2003, when there was considerably less fishing opportunity than are currently available for the 2004, National Marine Fisheries Service was concerned that lingcod catches from the recreational fishery would again exceed the allocations and possibly the ABC unless some in-season management change was made. So,
Maria, just to make sure I'm remembering correctly, OY is sort of what we're aiming for, and ABC is the sort of the ceiling?
Yes.
Okay.
And I guess Joe can answer, but there are certain things that have to happen if you do exceed ABC.
Okay.
In federal regulation. So in this discussion, we talked about, we being the department, talked about how we might manage the situation in California so that we wouldn't be overfishing. And the first thing that we considered was possibly looking at asking for a change in the OY in season, because we have a new stock assessment that shows the stock of lingcod to be much healthier than it was before. That wasn't a possibility because the groundfish plan doesn't allow in-season adjustments to the ABC, and therefore the OY, unless there was some error made in computation or a data error that results in some difference. So there is very restricted reasons how you could change the OY. So since we couldn't consider doing that, we considered looking at bag limits and size limit changes. After that discussion internally and then with NIMS, NIMS published a federal notice indicating that on April 1st, the minimum size for lingcod would be raised from 24 inches to 30 inches and the bag limit reduced from 2 fish to 1 fish. At the commission meeting the first part of March, Joe Blum and I discussed this lingcod situation with you. The fact that the federal that there was a federal published rule to take effect in April, and the fact that there was going to be a council meeting the following week, and there was opportunity to discuss this issue with other states and constituents. When we got to Tacoma, we talked about the need to, the council did, talked about the need to have California curtail its lingcod catches in 2004 as part of the in-season action discussion. The council was presented with the original analysis for the published federal regulation, which was the 30-inch size limit in 1 fish bag, and the fact that the projected catch would keep the 2004 catch below the California recreational allocation. At the same time, we also presented, California also presented the council with another alternative to consider, And this one had the reduction of two fish to one fish. We looked at closing the November and December time period to lingcod fishing, so no lingcod could be retained during November and December. And then we gave a range of size limits from 27 to 30 inches that they might consider choosing as a size limit. And if you go to page 7 of the document and figure 1, there's a graphic of past sample catches showing that the majority of...
Maria, hold
yes?
on 1 second.
Uh-huh.
Adriana, I don't have a page 7. Page 6, the last page I have.
Okay. Jim, I'll have Sherry email it to you, and you should get it in about 2 seconds, okay?
Have her fax it to me, because I don't even have my email on.
In the figure 1, it shows on the y-axis, volume is the poundage of fish that's taken. And then along the x-axis is the length. So if you look, you can see that the majority of the catches, the current size limit is 24 inches. It's between 24 and 30 inches is where most of the catch is taken. So we presented an option to look at if we change the size limit from something to 27 to 30 inches, we would be saving considerable amount of tonnage of fish. And when we did the analysis, we found that even if we chose 27 inches and had one bag and had 2 months of closure at the end of the year, we would still project to meet our allocation. And as you go larger and larger size, you get a greater and greater spread between what we project to catch and what our allocation is. So if you choose a 29-inch fish, you're going to have more of a difference between our allocation and our projection than you would if you chose a 27-inch fish. So this is what we term a buffer. When the council had discussion about these options, a lot of the discussion centered around the past inability to predict the catches. We've been unfortunately unable to really predict what we're going to do. There was a lot of discussion and concern expressed from Oregon and Washington about their fisheries being impacted by California going above taking more than the allocation. Can you guys hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but it's gotten
very loud. Really bad.
Can we get somebody to mute?
Is that, Michael, is that on your end?
No. No, I don't think so.
Okay. I can at least hear myself now. So the discussion at the council table about these different options and what we should do, again, circled around our inability to predict these catches, the concern from Oregon and Washington that their fisheries are affected if California goes over the allotment and takes more fish than all of us are allowed to have. And their concern was that in November of last year, the council took action to actually close all lingcod, all groundfish fishing last November. Most of the public that was at the meeting made comments in support of in-season changes. Of course, there were some who felt that no changes needed to be made, that, you know, everything would come out in the wash. The council members, when we were having this discussion, were sympathetic to the situation that California found itself in. They know how difficult it is to reduce fishing opportunities and bring make changes in season. They also promised to consider relaxing seasonal changes should the numbers turn out, as we're tracking, to indicate something other than what people expect to happen. So all of that was discussed on the floor, and eventually the vote came down to recommending to National Marine Fisheries Service that an in-season change be implemented for lingcod that would result in a one fish bag limit, a 30-inch size limit, and a closed season in November and December. So therefore, the department is recommending that the commission conform to the federal regulation that were adopted at the recent council meeting. And the recommendation is based on several important points, I think. First of all, that the California recreational catches have exceeded allocated levels in both 2002 and 2003, and they resulted in the ABC for the coastwide lingcod to be exceeded in both of those years. That the fishing opportunities in 2004 exceed past fishing opportunities. We have more months and deeper depths available this year. The lingcod stock is rebuilding as planned, and there are far more of them available to be caught. Recreational angling effort is highly unpredictable, as we've seen in all of the past years. There are increased catch rates for lingcod that we've seen in our sampling data during the last of from September through December of last year and for the first few months of this year. And we have this uncertainty of being able to predict actual catches for the remainder of this year. So those are the reasons that we're recommending that the commission conform. As an aside, I'd also like to give the commission a heads up relative to other expected in-season actions coming up at the April council meeting. During the discussion of in-season action, it was pointed out that the allocation for canary rockfish and black rockfish was exceeded in 2003, and California has been asked to come back to the council in April prepared to provide in-season changes to address those issues also. So this isn't a standalone issue at this stage. This is just the first issue within season
to get into here is different.
And exceeding last year's allocations and OIs that we're dealing with at this stage.
Maria, mm-hmm. This is Sam. Going back to the table on page 3 briefly.
Yes.
It's looking at the numbers. Tell me if you think this is a fair judgment to make or not, but this fishery is more of a California fishery than an Oregon and Washington fishery.
Is that
a fair statement?
Well, I'd say there's considerably more anglers in California that affect a greater catch.
Okay. And it's seems like it's more of a recreational fishery than a commercial fishery.
The commercials are given a specific allocation, and they're controlled by trip limits that that actually keep their catches well within their allowances.
Okay.
Are you done, Sam?
Yeah, those are my.
But what I want to hear, and I think I might have already heard it when you were giving your, is that. The impact if we just reduce the bag limit and kept the size limit where it's at, and the way I understand what you were saying is that we're going to catch the OI up a lot quicker if we leave it at the 24-inch limit because there's more.
Jim, you're cutting out there.
I said the way I understood your report is that if we was to just cut the bag limit down to 1 and leave the size limit the same. That you were saying that was going to cause the OI to be met that much quicker because
the statistics show that there's more fish being caught in that side range? Is that what you were saying?
Yes. That's contained on page 5 in the middle of the page. The second paragraph that begins by applying only the reduction to a one fish bag limit, we still would be more than double our allotted amount by only doing that, taking that action. We expect the recreational fishery to take 695 metric tons. And we're only allowed 346. So if we take double the amount and the other states take their amount, then we will be over the OY. And that's the concern the other states have. So we kept looking at ways to bring that number down closer to our allotment.
We actually have 346 tons worth of recreational fishermen. Are you catching that amount of fish?
Yes. We have...
That's based on your random sampling, right? That's not...
Right.
Data or...
It's
ours?
It's based on the MRFs data. And if we look historically back in the MRFs data to the 80s, we had several years where the recreational fishery caught over 1,000 tons of ling cod. So this is not a situation that it hasn't, you know, happened before.
Talk, if you can. My big concern is the slot limit. I really have a problem with that.
With the what?
Slot limit. You know, slotting.
Uh-huh.
You know, we think we're doing the right thing a lot of times when we do these, and they have unforeseen consequences. And I think it was pointed out in our last hearing that you're going to put an awful lot of pressure on larger animals. Now, maybe there won't be as many caught, and that's obviously your goal. But the ones that you do catch, it's like, you know, calling out all the 6-point bucks that we have out there. If we did that, put all that pressure on them, I'm sure the consequences would be felt in years to come. Can you talk about that for me?
Well,
before you do, I want to make Sam aware of some testimony that we had when we were in Reading. Sam, was that there was one gentleman that claimed that a 24-inch fish would deliver about 30,000 eggs in this pond, and a 30-inch fish would about 300,000 increments. And you know, I kind of am concerned about that we're attacking the future of the population more by going to that bigger size.
Rockfish generally get more fertile as they get older. Ling cod, Maria, correct me if I'm wrong, ling cod is a relatively less long-lived species. It's not one of the ones that lives to be 100 years old.
That's correct.
How long does it live?
I believe we're looking at a generation time of something like 9 years.
Yeah.
So they live older than that, but they have a generation time period of 9 years instead of something like 30 or 50.
I mean, what you just said, Jim, that's usually the fish biologists sum it up by saying BFF, the big fat females, or big old fat females, BOF, right?
And that is an issue that, you know, that we talk about internally, is balancing that. What are we really giving up by doing that? And one way to look at it is all of those fish above 30 inches have had 5 or more years to spawn. So it's not like they haven't contributed significantly to reproducing. Also, when we looked at the potential of a slot limit to be able to have the savings that we needed to keep our catches down, the slot limit would have had to have been very small range of fish, 24 to 26 inches, that is difficult for the recreational fishery to be able to you know, keep within. I mean, it's a very tight, small limit. It's not what you would like to have for slot limits, where it's a fairly large range.
You mean they can't decipher between 24 and 26 inches?
Well, it's having to throw everything back that's a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller, and it's just more chances for going above them.
So they practice more catch and release.
Yeah.
Are these fish that you can release?
They are, and when we were at the council, we were asked to actually include an estimate for how much mortality there would be from even discarding fish from 24 to 30 inches. You know, we had to build that into our estimate so that we could account for that mortality. And the only answer we could come up with for the discussion is doing this and hopefully fishing not turning out as we expect it to be, and tracking lower than we expect, and being able to possibly change this mid-season. But National Marine Fisheries Service was not willing to wait for that. They feel that we've exceeded our catches and have been unable to predict the catches well enough that they needed to know that we would start off here with something that was going to keep catches down.
Well, if they want us to predict it better, they ought to give us better data.
Well, we're trying that with this new SURFS program, but right now these are the data that all of this.
They just need to look in their own backyard.
Maria, what happens if we don't bring our regulations into conformity?
The immediate past president goes to jail.
Oh, well, good, great, okay.
The state's regulations will not be consistent with federal regulations. It causes a lot of confusion in the public.
Right.
They don't know whether they're in state waters or federal waters. It causes difficulties for enforcement for the same reason. And it will end up in California exceeding the allowable catch, and the fishery will close early.
And
there will be effects, and this is Joe Blum. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you can't see me. I had my hand up. It will undoubtedly result in impacts in Washington and Oregon. That is what caused Washington and Oregon to be very concerned about and serious about requesting California to take this action.
It's
coast-wide, so if California does not conform to the federal regulations and there are exceeded catches, then they got to stop, and they'll stop in Washington, Oregon, and that's the reality.
So it would annoy our neighbors to the north and our federal colleagues.
And Maria, this is Patty. You may want to just a little bit to the situation we have with canary and black rockfish, just to fill in the context.
Canary rockfish are also managed on a coastwide basis. They are also an overfished species, and unlike lingcod, where we're talking of hundreds of tons of allocation and hundreds of tons of OY, the entire coast of the Pacific coast has an OY for canary of 44 tons. Of that 44 tons, California is allocated approximately, California Recreational is allocated somewhere around 3.5 tons. Last year, we are recording over 18 tons of canary rockfish. This is...
Wait a minute. What is Oregon and Washington allocated in comparison then? Because I'm looking at 15 on the lingcod. The OY for Oregon and Washington is way low compared to ours because of less fishing. Doesn't that apply with the canary?
The different species are allocated differently between states and between commercial and recreational fisheries. So those are all negotiated allocations that are done prior to setting, you know, these seasonal limits. So was that somebody beeping?
Nope.
Okay. So canaries are, I don't have the allocation table directly in front of me right now, but the message I was just trying to convey was we went over in our recreational allocation for canaries and by a substantial amount. And the council is expecting us to come back with some solutions to keep this year's canary catches within what our allocations are.
Canary is one of the older lived species,
yes.
If I recall. That's the one that lives like 100 years old.
At least the half of that.
Right, and the rebuilding plan for that species
is very long.
90 years, I recall, to get to...
No, that was Calcott.
Yeah.
Was that Calcott? Okay.
It's considerably over 9 years. I think it's in the 30s.
Yeah.
So it's a much more critical issue that's coming up and facing us that we're going to have to deal with. So it just shows that we're unable to predict what fishermen are going to do, and we have a lot of people who want to go fishing, and some of these fish are in greater quantities right now as they rebuild, but they're still not at a level that we can have them take that much.
And that seems to be what we were hearing from the fishermen last meeting, too, that they seem to have felt in the Northern California area that the stocks were up and that we're overreacting, but I think what the science is showing is that the stocks are up because we're rebuilding, but they're not there yet.
To stop
now would be very detrimental to the overall recovery, you know, plan, and obviously not compliance with it or what Washington and Oregon need us to do also. So I was pretty convinced the need to do this at the commission meeting. I wanted to hear what happened at the council, and obviously the council reinforced what the department was recommending. And I just think, I think we need to comply.
Did you find the other access?
The other access on this end here?
Bob, you're cutting out pretty bad. Are you? Are you in transit right now?
Yes, I am. But it's okay. I'll just speak
better.
Directly into the phone. There, here we are.
Perfect.
That's better.
All I was saying was I thought it was pretty obvious.
No problem.
What the problem was at the last meeting, and that we heard from the fishermen that they had seen the stocks up, but we were not sure what that was from, other than just that the rebuilding was taking place. And I wanted to see what we did at the council, and the council obviously is recommending that we comply with the federal regs. So is Oregon and Washington. I just think probably because of the science and the politics of this, is what we need to do. Yeah. Motion yet if people want to still talk.
Are there any more comments from the commissioners? Do we have any other comment from anyone?
Yes, Jim, this is Randy Fry with RFA.
That's what I was waiting for.
I was up in Tacoma with Maria and Patty, and it was very ugly up there. And this is, you got to realize that this is all based on MRF's data. We're still caught in that MRF's box that we can't seem to fight our way out of. The same MRF's data showed that we caught 30 metric tons year before last of canary. And zero bocaccio. You've heard this before at the commission. I mean, it's the same MRF data show. We caught 27 metric tons of lingcod before the season opened. And it's shown that we caught supposedly 1,000 metric tons of lingcod last year, where if you go back to 98 and average the last 5 years, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, and 2002, the average recreational lingcod catch was 280 metric tons. So we've gone from an average of 280 bang up to one to it was 506 and then 1,000 metric tons. I mean, these are fairy tale numbers here, but again, it's the only numbers we have. And I think it should also be known that the real genesis of this whole situation is Noah's fear of another lawsuit. They've been sued six times by the NRDC over not adhering to their rebuilding plan, and they're afraid of another lawsuit. And Oregon and Washington, they're afraid. So it's, see no way out of this but to bite the bullet this year. Hopefully this SURFS program will give us some better numbers, and I think that if it doesn't, we're going to have to come up with some more funding for dockside krill counter so we can get a better accurate catch data.
Maria?
Yes?
What's our new program? What's the parameters of data collection?
Well, the program has been set up to address these kinds of issues that Randy's speaking about, of getting better numbers, numbers that are more representative. So it's operational at this point. And
so is it krill census? Are we at the docks checking?
We have increased our at the docks and on the vessels sampling. We've doubled that presence. We've also focused our attentions on those areas where people most launch vessels from, so we're effectively using our sampling dollars to sample where people are fishing and not spending a lot of time at places where there's not a lot of activity.
The captains, don't they keep krill counts?
Yes, and there is a, for the CPFV fleet, the commercial passenger fleet, there is a program that that the MRF system changed to 2 years ago that was much more effective in getting the information from that part of the fishery, and that particular method is being used this year. Because it does work a lot better than what they had before.
Okay.
And yes, they still have to turn in log books to the department.
So we're talking about just general recreational fishermen that don't use commercial means to go out, that are just private boat owners. Is that the part that we're increasing the census on?
But no, we've also doubled the amount of trips that we're taking on the CPFVs also, to actually see the fish that are being caught and released, mm-hmm. measuring the fish that are on those vessels, and then also doubling the amount of presence in the field at those places where people have their own private boats.
That's the kind of thing everybody's been talking about we need to do. So
yep.
Whatever we're doing has got to be better than the old system, Mike.
No, I'll say. Well, Maria, you said that the that's been in place for a year or two?
The new program with the CPFV fleet, the commercial recreational fleet, that program has been in place for 2 years now.
Okay. Do we see a dramatic increase in take there? Is that where we're seeing it at? Or?
And that's what I mentioned earlier, the catch rates. When we go in the field and we actually take, we're visibly there, seeing what's caught and measuring and talking to the people and looking at their bags of fish they bring in,
mm-hmm.
that has indicated in this last part of last year, 2003, and for the first part of 2004, that the catch rates for lingcod have increased dramatically.
Okay.
So it's not a guess or anything. This is stuff we've seen.
No, what I'm trying to get at, so based on the new data gathering mechanisms, you've seen an increase over the previous years, but could it be that in those previous years, those fish were being caught, but they just weren't being recorded?
It's the same way to sample. example. It's what we've seen in the field compared to what we see now in the field. That has increased.
Okay.
So it's actually comparing apples to apples.
To apples, okay.
And it is things we've seen, not what people have told us.
Okay.
Is there any more comment from the public or staff or anything on Maria's report?
Maria, can you tell us if the rebuilding progress, so to speak, is on course? Well, we have a 10-year rebuilding plan for Lincott, and is the projections such that we're on course to meet the 10-year rebuilding status, or are we below it or above it with the new stock assessment that was just completed?
Okay. The new stock assessment was accepted by the council for use in 2005 and 2006, so it is a viable, usable stock assessment. The assessment shows that while we manage on a coast-wide basis, the assessment is actually done on two portions of the stock, one that's a northern portion and one that's a southern portion. We are in the southern portion. The data show that the northern portion of the stock has rebuilt much faster and is at a level that if we were managing on separate stocks, that we would probably be asking National Marine Fisheries Service to declare this fish not overfished anymore in the northern section. But the majority of the results is actually based on the 1999 year class of fish, which was extremely productive and positive. And it has been entering the fishery last year, the last 2 years, to where it's measurable. So that newest year class of fish is so large compared to the past year classes of fish that it is pushing the entire stock assessment forward as being a lot healthier. If there are other years after 1999 that are as healthy as 1999 or as a substantial, then we should be definitely on track for rebuilding. However, we won't know that until the next stock assessment. So right now the only year class we have is 99 that is driving the results. The predictions in the model show that the stock size will decrease in the next few years, and that this is the highest point of health for the fishery right now. So, yes, we're rebuilding, in fact, quicker than what the predictions were, which is positive, but right now the rebuilding is really based only on the value and the influence of that 1999 year class.
Maria, this is Randy. With the OY almost doubling from 735 metric tons to, I believe, what, 1405 metric tons for Lincott next year, do you see us back with 24-inch two fish next year?
Because we manage on a coastwide basis and we allocate that OY, if we allocate the OY between the states and the different fishing sectors in the same, you know, with same fashion that we've done the last few years, that increased OY for 2005 and 2006 would result in California having approximately 500 metric tons of fish available to the state. If we use the MRF's numbers and the catches for the past few years of over 500 for recreational and 1,000 this year, the 500 tons we might get is still not enough to probably have a 24-inch, you know, large seasonal availability fishing opportunities. So I don't know. We haven't done any analysis. We don't have our allocations. We're going to be working on that. But there is a possibility, of course, that we can look at 05 and 06 with different size limits or bag limits.
Plus, we'll have the surf deck coming in, right?
We probably will not have surf's data for 05 because we will. The council will be adopting management measures in June using data from last year. But there is an opportunity for 2006 to make an in-season adjustment if the surf's data show something totally different than the MRF's data.
In the wrong pile.
Can I ask two questions, Ms. Sankey? One question is, do we know how, do we have any sense of how the black rockfish canary restrictions interact with this issue? In other words, what are the likely scenarios for dealing with the rockfish and canary story regulatorily?
I can't answer that right now because we are in the process of analyzing that data. And it would have, depending on what kind of management actions we propose to address the canary and black rockfish issues, it could have a small impact on these emergency regulations, or it could have a larger effect on that.
Yeah, and when you mean by effect, I'm trying to give the commissioners some sense cascade here, if any. I mean, I know I'm asking you to hypothesize, but you know, one of our problems I think we've had in the past is we take action A, then 2 months later we take action B, and another month action C, and next thing we got a mess. And is there, you know, I'm just trying to give them a sense of what might be coming. I mean, are we talking about, would one of the actions be closing rockfish seasons, like the end of the year? I mean,
I think that a closure period is probably high on the list of probabilities. How that closure period is negotiated, you know, between the fishing groups, the constituents, and their needs and desires to run their businesses, and, you know, our need to keep within some level based on our analysis. I don't know how that might work, so it may end up that we close part of the season in the spring and in the winter. I don't know yet how that's going to turn out, but certainly if we close fishing for rockfishes anywhere on the coast, that is going to also close lingcod fishing.
Thank you. That's kind of what I wanted to
And that's why at the council I pushed for, you know, let's look at whether we might be able to change things down the road, because we don't really know what the whole picture is at this stage. And the unfortunate part is, you know, it just doesn't all happen at one time and we get to deal with all of it at one time. That's the reality.
But didn't you say in your earlier comments that the council was sympathetic to an additional change if need be?
Yes.
Yes.
And my other question was for Joe, and just for clarification for the commissioners, have you guys changed the register to include the season closure? Because I don't know that the original one did.
The original did not, and to my knowledge, we have not, but we're allegedly going to.
Okay, so it's anticipated you'll modify the registered notice. Okay.
Yes, and if that is incorrect, I will let you know as soon as I learn that.
Go ahead.
Oh, did you have another one, Tom?
No, that was the other one. I just wasn't sure whether the season closures at this point our move, and but it sounds like NOAA is going to modify their notice to include a seasonal closure with the original third-inch notice. Because right now, conforming to the seasonal, that two-month closure, it actually is not conforming because it's not part of the package yet. But I just wanted to know, is it coming?
Yeah. And again, I'm on vacation. I haven't been checking Federal Register notices, but I don't believe we have taken action at this time.
Foggy, just discussions with NIMP staff during since the council meeting is they are preparing their federal notice.
Okay, good.
And they received a letter from the council outlining the changes that the council was recommending that NIMPs take. And just for information purposes, several of those recommendations were recommendations to have the federal regulations conform or reflect the California regulations that the commission adopted at the March meeting, reducing the bag limit in the north, taking that sub-bag limit out.
Oh.
Those things, those were also part of the request for the Federal Register to bring those federal regulations in line with our recreational regulations.
No, towards that end, because it doesn't do me any. If it goes out that way, they'll hear it. If it goes out that way, they'll hear it down that way.
Okay. Now you were
commissioners. I for one.
Yeah, if it works up there, that's fine up there.
Okay. Are you on another meeting, Mike?
No, I've got. You know, my house got robbed, so they're here upgrading my system.
Look, for the commissioners, if there's no more comments or questions, I'm ready to entertain a motion.
I'm ready to make a motion.
Go ahead, Sam.
I'll move that we bring our Lincott regulations into conformity.
Move for the department's recommendation.
Yep.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We'll have to have a roll.
Have to have a roll call, right?
Roll call. Commissioner Shookit.
Aye.
Commissioner Hattori.
Aye.
Commissioner Flores.
Aye, with the caveat, I don't like the 30-inch.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. By the way, but still an aye.
Commissioner Kellogg.
Aye.
Okay, passes unanimously. There's no further business.
I got one other question.
Bob, may I say something?
Joe Bloom.
Yeah, please. I want to thank the commission and the staff. The staff did a heck of a job, both in the two commission meetings and in front of the council. And I want to thank you for taking the action. Please, I understand, the agency understands, this was not easy nor fun. And unfortunately, it's not over, but we really appreciate what you have done.
Thanks.
And to that, we will give you an extra dollar and a quarter on the SURF system.
I would
anyway,
like to go
you
against
much.
You, Joe, just to watch the past president go to prison.
Well, you and I talked about that and decided since he had been robbed, we probably didn't want to heighten his nervousness. But again, thank you very, very much. We really appreciate it.
Okay, then with that, I guess we're adjourned, huh?
I had one more question. Joe, are you still there?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, about the now that California, Oregon, and Washington, all three states, have boat limits, is NOAA going to let that now or put it into regulation in federal waters?
I have not heard that discussion at all. I will follow up and get back to Bob Traynor, to you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, that discussion hasn't come to me.
Okay, well,
any other late questions?
I guess we stand adjourned then. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks.
Right, bye.